Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Welcome to White Rabbit Podcast with Catalyst Jones, where your reality might be challenged. So leave your feelings at the fucking door. And let's dive down some rabbit holes.
Liberal advisory. Truthful content.
Lizard Illuminati.
A new world order.
Excuse me, has anybody seen
White Rabbit? That was a joke about the world being flat, right?
Was it?
When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order.
They sound crazy, so but it could totally 100% be true because we know the government is lying about every single thing.
Welcome, fellow truthers and conspiracy junkies, to another episode of White Rabbit. I am your head. I have been out of the saddle so long. Let's give that one another go, shall we? And I am not going to edit the fuck out of that, but I have not been in the fucking driver's seat for a minute. So let's fucking do that again. And welcome, fellow truthers and conspiracy junkies, to another episode of White Rabbit. I am your host, Catalyst Jones. Been bringing the heat all fucking summer, and we're not going to stop today. It's been fucking fire as fuck. And like I said on the last episode, the entire fucking world is on fire. And so with that, I'm like, who is one of the hottest fucking voices out there? It's Andrew for America. So ladies and gentlemen, welcome Andrew for America. What is up, brother?
Yeah. Been waiting to come on the show for a while. We've been schedule conflictions, but we did it, man. We're here. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me, brother.
Man, I've been excited for this one. This has been in the works for like so long, and both of us, I think, have had to reschedule at least twice. So it's been in the making, bro. But every time I've talked to you on the tavern, I'm like, dude, that's my peoples right there. So, you know, it's only fitting that you come on White Rabbit. So that's how I met you. For my listeners who may not know who you are, could you please let them know what it is that you do and how you aborted the White Rabbit?
Yeah, man. So Andrew for America, host of the Politics and Punk Rock podcast. I do a show where it's part politics and conspiracies and philosophy and government and media and all the crazy shit that we're going through here in the 21st century on a global scale. And then I end the show in the third segment with a featured up-and-coming punk rock artist. I myself am a former punk rock guitar player, lyricist, songwriter, been playing in bands for 15, 20 years. And then got a BA in sociology from San Diego State, did 4 years in the Navy, 2 Western Pacific deployments. So been all over the world, seen a lot of crazy shit. And I put the two knowledge bases of my personal life experiences, I guess you could say, together into the brainchild I called the Politics and Punk Rock Podcast.
Bro, I fucking love it. And, you know, me coming from a music background as well, when I dipped my foot in making music for the first time, I was in high school, and it was for punk rock band. And I was horrible, man, but I was the drummer for Musclehead Willie was the name of our band. And we did some other side stuff. And we actually had some really cool stuff going for us. Then I dove into hip hop. You know, Eminem made it okay for us. So as a white boy, I was like, fuck it, I'm taking this shit over. Anyways, so what made you want to start your podcast, bro?
Lots of things. I think I kind of grew up a little bit and kind of transitioned out of bartending and playing nightclubs and stuff like that. Man, my backdrop is garbage right now. What is happening?
It's all good, man. It's like the Nephilim trying to creep through a different fucking, like a portal right behind you. And I'm kind of like tripping out on it. I'm like, dude, this is crazy, dude. They're coming to get his ass.
Oh man, they're coming to get me. Oh, well, I'll just leave it there. Fuck it. But yeah, so I basically started out just putting the idea together was something that happened after I stopped kind of touring and playing in punk rock bands, and I wasn't really writing songs that much anymore, and I wanted to have some type of creative outlet. So the podcasting game was getting big. Lots of people were getting into it. I think we all thought that we had some information we needed to share with the world at the time. And now it seems like there's so many of us sharing similar stories and information and research and, all that kind of stuff that, I think it really is making a dent in the mind, the social consciousness. People are getting alternative media, sources that aren't the mainstream media anymore. And I love it. I think we need more of it. I think that we might actually be changing some minds now. And I don't know if I thought it was really that possible when I started out. But these days, the community has grown so much, it's almost outnumbered mainstream media. I think if you put all the podcast listeners in the world together and put those numbers up against the mainstream media, I bet it outnumbers it multiple fold.
Oh, man, I bet we lap them so many fucking times, it's not even funny. So as you were telling your story, I was thinking, okay, so I'm an artist slash musician, or formerly known as, and then I started like going through the index in my head. You know, you got like Sam Tripley, who's a comedian, that I consider that a form of art. So I feel like people that really had something to say from a very young age, even if they didn't know what it was, like through their art or whatever, we've all somehow found this platform of podcasting. And I'm curious, like through a music background, how did you even find podcasting? Because for me, man, I was at work and I was listening to music all day, every day. And then I would get home and listen to music all day, every day. I would wake up to music, and then I just stopped listening to music and switched to podcasts. And I'm curious, like, one, is there a balance, and what even made you start listening to podcasts coming from a music background?
Yeah. I think I started out listening to a lot of Joe Rogan, a lot of Dave Smith. There's a few other podcasts. I guess I just kind of started listening to a lot, and I kind of tried to see what was out there. And, when I found a few that I thought was kind of my thing and, you know, the underlying subject matter and maybe some of the belief systems of the hosts, I thought maybe lined up with maybe some of my beliefs. So, I would start listening. And one day I just had the idea, like I said, I had stopped playing music. I wasn't really writing that much anymore. And I was actually trying to look for another revenue stream. I wanted to like get some type of side hustles off the ground, and podcasting came up, and I was like, you know, that would be fun and creative. And it kind of turned into like, I kind of lay out my show like I would lay out a song. Like it's like segment one, segment two, transition, you know, segment three. And it's like verse, chorus, verse, bridge. And it kind of feels in a way like songwriting to me. It's just instead of writing and trying to get my message or whatever I'm talking about in a song form out through the lyrics, now I have, you know, hours of long form discussion. And you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I want to jump in right here because as I wanted to allude to this as I was drawing you in for this question, it is the fact that there's only so much that you can get across in a 2.5 to 3.5 minute song. And,
for sure. Oh, yeah.
You know, like a lot of people will put their whole albums together and it's like metaphorically spoken through creativity and shit like that. But like, even recently, like, how is it that we're finding out these bands that we thought we knew so much about are just fucking pushover pieces of shit, right? And so
it's funny, like that concept has been coming up. I've been getting invited out on a lot of different shows lately. So apparently people are listening, which feels good. I've oftentimes said that I just kind of do my show for me. And if people like it and listen to it, then that's better. In fact, I think I said that to you on the tavern.
That is the only way, brother. If you're doing it to please other people, then it's not you, then you're not going to like it. And in return, the people are listening are not going to like it. If you don't enjoy what you're doing, then the same goes with music.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think that's kind of what happened for me was just, I had the idea. I thought about, okay, if I was going to do it, what would I do? And I started just kicking ideas around. And then I just tried. I got a microphone. I kind of had a concept. I was like, I'm just going to hit record and go and see what happens. So, you know, like you can probably relate to this. Your first, you know, 5-10 shows, you listen back to it a year or so later and you're just like, oh, I've come so far.
I'm actually
like,
scared.
Some
too.
Of them are just dread. Yeah. Some of them are just fucking dreadful, man. I'm like, ugh. But, when I listen to an episode, multiple times editing, you know how it goes before I actually am ready to release it. And so I've absorbed it so much before I release it that I kind of already know certain parts verbatim. And, it is a creative therapeutic outlet more than it is like, oh, I want to have a hot show that everybody listens to and I want to get popular. And, you know, yes, I have information I want to get across, but what I'm offering in my humble opinion is just my perspective based on a year. You know, I'm in my 40s now, so I have a life's worth of experience, both in music and in politics and, you know, reading at length for years and years and years.
It would be arguable to say that you have multiple life experiences at this point, because I think that us in our 40s have experienced so fucking much that our parents couldn't fathom and our children couldn't fathom.
For sure.
Because we went through a crossover generation. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Me and a friend of mine, Sam Winchester from According to Sam podcast, we talk about how the 90s and the early 2000s was... and maybe the late 80s too, was like the top of the American empire. And ever since the turn of the millennium, it's just been a downward spiral.
Yeah,
like
we've hit the peak, and now we're going to the 90s. At my age in the 90s, I was thinking about it the other day. I think I might have said this on the tavern recently, and I was just thinking about like the jobs that my stepfather used to hold and the houses that we had and the food that we had and shit like that and the jobs that I have. And I'm like, dude, I have better fucking jobs than he did. And I'm barely making it, like sharing a room with three other fucking people that also have full-time jobs that are barely fucking making it.
Yep. And that's, I mean, direct result of fiat currency and inflation and, you know, the reducing of the purchasing power of the dollar over time. You know, we've been over that a million times, but.
Well, that's a perfect segue into one of my favorite questions to ask people as their first time coming on the White Rabbit. Okay. And being that you come from a military background and a music background and your age, I'm really curious what you're going to say. And what was your major oh shit moment? And I used to say your red pill moment, but I've come to discover that everybody goes through many different red pill stages, but we all have that one just awakening, oh fucking shit moment. What was that moment for you?
Boy, that's a good question. I think the first time I felt like I understood something that maybe not everybody understood. I remember I was at a party by San Diego State University. I must have been mid-20s. And somewhere around there. And I remember just getting into conversation with all these people, and it was kind of a deeper conversation that I'd ever been in before in like a party social situation. And I found myself agreeing with these people on a level that I was like, holy shit, I'm not alone. There's other people out there that have been, that read things and have a discerning mind and are skeptical about stuff. And
do you remember what the topics were?
Some, you know, corporations are evil. They're, you know, a group of people is colluding and conspiring.
Were you smoking weed?
Probably.
Oh, that's fucking awesome. Okay. So I'm going to tell you this. My top two answers is 9/11 and COVID, and they're about neck and neck with each other.
That was what I was going to get ready to say was then when 9/11 happened, that's when a lot of stuff came full circle because I read Noam Chomsky's book, Hegemony or Survival, pretty much during George W. Bush's presidency, and blew me away. Once I started understanding what was going on with the war and the foreign policy, and then you start looking back at previous administrations and you start seeing the
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
And threads and the same usual suspects showing up behind the scenes. It's like that Charlie Day, that famous meme where he's trying to explain everything, drawn out on the chalkboard in the background, connecting the dots, you know, like that's what you feel like you're doing and you feel crazy, but like, it's not based on, oh my God, I'm high and I'm out of my mind. It's based on, no, I've actually read about this and looked into it to a point where I cannot believe what I am fucking witnessing and reading here. And that's when I think it hits a lot of people and they go, oh shit, this isn't conspiracy theory. This isn't like just some story, fictional story made up in a book. Like this is like historical record. Like this shit really happened. That's when I think people start going, oh fuck, what don't I know?
Right.
And
right.
And now you're hooked. Now you're a truther. Now you're just researching every day of your life.
It is. You know what? And I'm not, I shouldn't say that I'm disappointed with that answer because that was a fan fucking tastic answer and it's very interesting, but on the flip side of the coin, I'm a little disappointed with that answer because you coming from a musical background, I was really hoping that it would be like, well, I was brought into this room one time and there was like a bunch of people in robes.
No, not. I was never approached by the Illuminati or anything like that. No, can't say that that happened. Maybe on Facebook in a private message by some weird company.
Oh, right. I remember getting those messages back in the day. Would you like to join the Illuminati? This is the dumbest shit I've ever fucking, like, really? You're going to fucking send me a message on MySpace? Come on.
Yeah. But, well, you know what? I guess this is kind of, here, I'll give you a better answer. So, I kind of didn't answer the question you asked me about, and what I was going to bring up about punk rock and how a lot of them turned out to be poser fucking sellouts as soon as they got fame and some money. So, I think through punk rock, I mean, me getting into punk rock started when I was in the military and I just so happened to be in San Diego, which had a great punk rock scene at the time. And that's how I started up in bands and playing and touring over the Southwestern United States. So
yeah, you guys had Strung Out back then. Who else was from San Diego?
Oh, no, Strung Out's from like, Orange County, I think Calabasas. Calabasas.
I think
Orange County.
I'm throwing Southern California into the mix because East Bay punk had its own thing like that was going on under like Wingnut Records, and that was like AFI and mm-hmm. Screw 32 and bands like that.
Yep. And then in San Diego, I mean, you had Unwritten Law, Blink 182, Agent 51, Sprung Monkey. there's, I mean, God, San Diego had so many bands from
with
so
some 41 from there as well.
No, I think those guys are Canadian, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, that would make sense. They do kind of look Canadian. Now, what about did you know any Christian punk bands like MXPX?
No, the I want to say, I don't know if Switchfoot is like a surfer guys that are a pretty popular rock band. I want to say that they're Christian. I could be wrong, but no, I'm not familiar with a bunch of Christian bands at all from San Diego off the top of my head.
Yeah. I'm just curious, man. I follow Davey Havoc on Instagram, and he used to be such an inspirational person to me because not only was that the very first punk show that I went to, the first mosh pit that I fucking jumped in and experienced, but after the show, I'm like fucking, my shirt is drenched. I'm sweaty as fuck. And he had, do you remember the skateboard company Think?
Yeah, vaguely, yeah.
They had two Think banners on stage at this place because it was promoted by a skateboarding shop, and that's how this show was put on. Oh,
yeah, you told me
the
story on the tavern, I think. Yeah.
And so I jump up on stage, and they're, like, sitting there. Like, they didn't even have roadies at the time, bro. They're, like, wrapping up and putting their own equipment away and everything. And I was like, hey, what are you guys going to do with the banners? Do they go with you when you tour? And he was like, you need something that says Think in your room. And so you can go ahead and take one of those.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And now he's full really on cool. Fucking satanic. I was just looking at one of his pictures. It came up on my feed either yesterday or the day before. And it was just total fucking satanic shit. And I'm just like, wow, man, what the fuck?
I always was curious about Davey because he has a couple songs. I mean, there's a song on Black Sails in the Sunset that's like some type of vampire language, some occult language of some sort.
I really feel like that's where he met.
Malefarus or something like that.
I feel like he met somebody during that time. Because when the story that I just told you, they were skater punks, right? They came out and their fucking first album, they were wearing like
Misfit fans.
They were wearing thrift store fucking suits. And then their second album came out and they were like skater punks, but like hardcore skater punks, not like Blink 182 skater punks. They were like, throw me away, you know, like fucking like in your face shit.
And through our bleeding, we are one.
Well, I feel like that was a chant that really, that was a transitional. I feel like that album right there was a transitional album where he met somebody that brought him into the occult teachings. Because
very possible.
Because
very
the first possible. Two albums was nothing but rebelling against your parents type of fucking music. And then all of a sudden, Through Our Bleeding, We Are One comes out. Like, that's how they open the album. And he fucking changes his entire look. Like, he looks like Brandon Lee from the fucking Crow, you know? Like,
And a lot of that stuff, a lot of his stuff on those records, The Art of Drowning, too, were darker. Like, what's that song where he goes, my life is a dark room, one big dark room. It's like that's when he even started going kind of emo.
Well, you know, like, where he got that like from? Goth, that was glam, from Beetleju- emo. That's just a quote from the movie Beetlejuice, though, right?
Right. But I'm just saying, like, that's where his vibe, you could tell it was definitely changing.
I think there was people that came into his life that were like, hey, this guy has the ability to be a star. Because I don't know if you've seen him on Warped Tour, man, during those years when they were really fucking blowing up. Their presence at Warped Tour, that was the only time I've ever been scared at a concert, because I was up against the chain link fence and motherfuckers put so much pressure against us that one, I couldn't breathe. And two, they finally knocked that motherfucking fence down. And as soon as they did, I jumped on stage and then immediately jumped as far as I could into the crowd, like to stage dive the fuck out of there.
No, that's crazy, dude. So
and I'm thinking, like, during that time, man, there was definitely eyes on him. And so, you know, because there's things going around that he's a homo, but, you know, I'm not putting it aside that they didn't put a female into his life to bring him into occult teachings and shit.
Very possible. I mean, especially when, you know, who knows what kind of agreements are made when bands go from from, you know, relatively popular touring artist to now you're in the big time. Now, you know, you had a conversation and probably, you know, someone has some illicit pictures of you somewhere just in case,
right?
You know, I mean, that's probably how it goes. I mean, how many times have we talked about, you know, with the hip hop got artists that got called into the room and they were like, hey, you know, we have this agenda we're going
to
push.
You know, that's we'll actually finally money. Starting to come to the surface as like something that's almost common knowledge now. I'm hearing I'm hearing this talked about a lot recently, and they're talking about the prison agenda, and a lot of artists are saying, oh yeah, we get paid more to talk about this. So like, why there the fuck wouldn't we talk about this? You know what I mean?
But follow the money, man.
That's just how it's that's where we're at now. But what you're talking about is an actual fucking meeting that took place with CIA spooks and fucking top executive record producers and the biggest influencers in hip hop and in hip hop during the late 90s and the early 90s and the late 80s. So you got NWA a part of that, which I find it ironic that Ice Cube is speaking out. And I was going to ask him about that fucking meeting when he agreed to come on the White Rabbit. But, you know, fuck Catalyst.
Yeah, I know.
We're just going to ghost this motherfucker. He's going to ask us the wrong questions. Let's do Joe Rogan and people like that.
And Tucker Carlson. You know what's crazy about that, too, is like I actually talked about that on one of my episodes where I was like, I was talking about you, but I didn't mention your name. I was like, hey, you know, this happened with Ice Cube. And I was like, do you guys believe him? I'm like, you think he's going to come out here and scare all of us and tell us that the big club is watching all of us and we should shut the fuck up? Or is he really going to come out here and talk to we podcasters and the truther conspiratorial community on our level from a knowledge base that we all have so that it's an intelligent conversation when we all are kind of aware of similar facts? I didn't want to make a judgment call until I saw what shows he was going to do and what kind of stuff he was going to talk about. So very interesting how he picked and chose where he was going to go.
You know, and Andrew,
he kind of snubbed the shit out of you. So that's
yeah, he
up.
Did. But Andrew, I think what happened was he saw that blue check mark and he just assumed that I had like a legit show that was like probably part of whatever it was that he was trying to do.
Really?
Think that? I really think that, man, because when I first got that blue check mark before they were giving it out to like everybody, like when I first got that, I've been messaging people for so fucking long to come on the show and they wouldn't even like know that I wrote them. And once that blue check mark hit, I'm like, oh my God, they read my message. Not only are they reading my messages, but they're fucking responding to me. This is fucking awesome. Like I just went,
really?
Yeah, I was just telling Joe and Jen from Legit Baptist the other night because I was blessed enough to go hang out with them for the weekend. And I was like, dude, fucking Jimmy Levy hit me up. And they were like, who's that? And I was like, I'm so disappointed in you. And I played them a couple their songs with his songs with High Res. And they were like, oh shit. And I'm like, yeah, he's like, so I might be working on a documentary. Well, I have been working on a documentary and hopefully he's going to help in any way that he can with that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man. So you never know That's who's awesome. Listening and where this shit's going to go.
That's for sure, man. Like I mean, I was just kind of moping around doing my show. Like it was just kind of a side project, fun little creative outlet for me. Since I started the podcast, I started writing and playing music again. And now that I am more familiar with the recording equipment and stuff that I have, I'm going to try to build a little home studio and maybe just get like a drum machine with MIDI tracks and start recording. But
nice.
But in the meantime, that's when I got into the show. And then all of a sudden, it organically started growing, man. The social media posts and stuff, the marketing started going, and all of a sudden, everyone's hitting me up like, hey, do you want to come on the show? And it's like, it's humbling, but at the same time, I'm shocked at how just being an honest voice that was courageous enough to, you know, put their voice out there, like Matt from Great Deception always says, you know, you just got to put your voice out there, throw your ideas against the wall and see what sticks. And the connection that we all have, you know, on this blessing and a curse of a technology we call the internet, and AI is coming, obviously. But like the fact that we can talk to people all over the world, and, you know, I got Larry Sharp on my show just from going on Welsh Republic podcast. And the guy's like, oh, hey, I'll hit up Larry. He was on my show. I'll let him know that he wants to do yours. And I'm like, holy shit, I got Larry fucking Sharp on my show just from guesting on someone else's show. So like, it's an amazing time. It's you know, it's the great frontier out there podcasting right now. And I remember Larry saying on that episode, he was like, the reason why I'm doing all these podcasts is because he agreed with all of us that this is the future of media. Finding a voice that you trust, and that's where you're going to go to get your information. And I love that idea.
Yeah.
Love it.
And you know, the people that I keep going back to are the ones that are able to admit that they were wrong when they were wrong. And I want to give a big shout out to Matt from The Great Deception, because he is a voice in this community. And if you are a podcaster and you are in like one of our circles that circles with Matt, then you know just what, like, what a down-to-earth great guy that he is. Not only is he a baseball coach for his son, but I think that some of the shit that he says during his shows is like human lifing coach for all of us adults, even us for podcasters. Sure. You know, like, hands down, guy has one of the greatest shows out there. So go give Matt a follow if you're not already following him. And go give Andrew a follow if you're not already following him. I'm going to give him a chance to plug his shit. But you guys already know, if you're listening to this and you like him, you can already just scroll down right now and click that link. Go start listening to his shit. Come back and listen to the rest of this shit when you're done. And be sure to give him a follow and a 5-star, because this is a true motherfucker right here. And I wouldn't be talking to him if he wasn't.
I appreciate that, man. Yeah, I've been... you know, it feels good. It's very humbling to be invited out on so many shows as of late. And I always say this on the show, and I'm going to keep this train going down the track as long as I can. I'll probably do it forever, regardless of any accolades or popularity. So it's just become my adult creative therapeutic outlet. And I think that again, I've said this a million times, I do it for me more than I do it for any of you. So, and that's no offense. I love you guys. Thank you so much for listening.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Well, speaking of doing it for me, the reason I do this show is because I love digging down rabbit holes. And so
one
of the questions that I did want to ask you is, what is your favorite music-based conspiracy?
Ooh, that's a good one. Music-based conspiracy.
Shall I tell you mine and then you can tell me yours? Or is that gonna influence what you might say?
Well, I was gonna say, I think my favorite one, so I read the book Helter Skelter about Charlie Manson.
Ooh, yes.
And it was Vincent Bugliosi, the lawyer in the case, apparently wrote the book. And I remember thinking to myself that this was such a crazy story, and I thought that it was a CIA influence. I thought that Charlie Manson was probably a guy that was probably an asset that they probably did something to get, you know, kick off all these murders. And
I 100% believe that he was definitely groomed by the CIA, by the CIA. But I'm not sure if he was a patsy or if he was a Manchurian candidate that actually believed the things that he was saying and doing.
That's a good question. And where I think it already sounded crazy to me when I thought about, he always said that the CIA wants a race war between whites and blacks, right? And then you fast forward 20, 30 years in the future, whatever it was, approximately, and we kind of have the, you know, the dawn of wokeism and this revisiting to
BLM.
Racial issues and cultural differences and like the divide and conquer agenda that we all talk about. So that fascinated me to think back. Like, I actually made this joke once upon a time. I'm like, holy shit, who would have thunk that Crazy Charlie Manson was right about a lot of the crazy shit he was saying back in the 60s, right? But then it goes deeper, because then now there's all these conspiracy theories that Vincent Bugliosi, the lawyer that wrote this book, was also involved in the CIA, and that he formed the story about the Charlie Manson murders and situation that he put into this book. So
that he already had in play, because I feel, okay, you want to know what I think about this? Here's what I think is, I feel like they were going to originally use Charlie Manson as a Manchurian candidate, and they really wanted to groom him at the same time. Like, not either or, like, and, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
And so, because he was in and out of prison a few times, it's not like his record was squeaky clean. But not only that, he was a very gifted musician that a lot of musicians that made music that all of us look up to right now looked up to him as a gifted musician. And he was a part of this whole Laurel Canyon group. And there is a huge conspiracy behind Laurel Canyon. And even the role that they play in movies and snuff films and things that's going on to this very day. And these CIA spooks that have their hand in this. What I feel is, Charles Manson backfired on them, and he actually had his own awakening. And through that awakening, they were like, we have to martyr this motherfucker right now.
It looks like that. I agree with that, because you could tell when he got interviewed in prison years later, I mean, the matter of factness with which he delivered his points, at crazy as they may sound to the average person, he was very, very convincing and matter of fact, like to the point where I find it very difficult to believe that he didn't really honestly believe some of the stuff he was saying. And maybe he wasn't lying. Maybe he was, you know, whatever, tortured into mind control or whatever. Because think about Waco and David Koresh and the Branch Davidians. There's
shit. I need to check my emails, because fuck, dude. Anyways, a survivor from that exact event, who Macaulay Culkin's little brother played the role of in a movie, the actual person just agreed to come on my show. So
I would love to hear that, because my where I was going with that is, isn't it interesting how throughout history there's these, I mean, think about Heaven's Gate down in San Diego, these religious cult leaders that take these people and brainwash them away from society to think that they're the chosen people, and the only way to you know, achieve God is through the words of this person that's so charismatic and, you know, is telling you that they're, you know, Jesus Christ resurrected or whatever it is. It happens time and time again throughout history, and it makes a discerning person and someone who's lived some years in this world, me being 40 years old, and I've seen a lot of these stories over the years, it makes you wonder, is there a common variable that nobody talks about? Like the intelligence community behind the scenes. I mean, you think back to the Church Committee and the JFK assassination, like there's too much involvement by deep state, CIA, whatever you want to call it, intelligence community, you know, the spooks.
I really feel like CIA.
Too much involvement to not be something there.
No, I definitely agree with you 100%, but I feel like the CIA is minions compared to the people that actually do pull the strings.
Oh, for sure.
And the CIA is more or less, it's like an audition stage for who they're going to bring in to...
The new Knights Templar.
Right. That's how I feel it is. But like, to jump back into Charles Manson and shit, you know, like I listened to a lot of those interviews that he did when he was in prison and shit. And some of the things that he said, I'm like, I shouldn't be resonating with things that Charles Manson fucking said. And that's what made me dig into Charles Manson, because he was saying so many things that I fucking agreed with. And I was This is scary. Why am I agreeing with him? Right. And they were like, and one of the interviews was like, if they were to give you, if they were to post bail or fucking just let you out by a miracle right now, what would you do? And he would say, I would go plant almond trees. And I was like, what, dude, this guy, like, and that was like during an awakening where I was just like getting really in touch with like earth and stuff like that. And I'm like, man, dude, I really feel like this guy just hit an awakening. And he was like, oh, wait, these motherfuckers are using me and I'm just going to do my own thing and be artistic. And then they were like, oh, the fuck you are.
Yeah. And I think they're probably supplying him with free LSD because that was during the time where they flooded the streets in San Francisco in the hippie movement with LSD. So,
oh, absolutely, I think that they were.
He was keeping everybody high out of their fucking mind.
Yeah, that's not even a conspiracy. That's not even a conspiracy theory.
Oh, I know.
That's actually real shit documented. And he is actually one of the victims of the experiments that they were doing with that entire fucking thing with the CIA and the LSD experiments that came out of the Haight-Ashbury district in San Francisco and shit.
Yep. And that apparently all that stuff was, you know, military contracted testing that they were doing. You know, allegedly the story goes that all these psychotropic, whatever, hallucinogenic drugs all came out of this project where they were trying to come up with ways to control soldiers and like chemical warfare, biological warfare, yada, yada. So, interesting how that backfired, like in the process of trying to find a substance that could like fuck up or corrupt someone or shut them down, it actually expanded their mind and connected all their brain neurons into one thing where they could attain enlightenment.
Well, it did to a point and it didn't to a point, because I would say that during the 60s, that whole CIA operative, and I would go as far to say that Woodstock was not a grassroots movement that just sprung up out of nowhere. Because if we look at the, like how, not Corey Hughes, but, Charlie, who I just had on the show, Charlie Robinson, Charlie Robinson. Yeah. How Charlie Robinson, his book, it says like the controlled demolition of America, right? And just in the title right there, you look at like these certain aspects of American history that were part of the controlled demolition. Mm-hmm. And I would say that the 60s hippie movement was a very pivotal part of that controlled demolition. Would you, especially the music that came out of it. And that was like, hey, we can control the masses through music now.
Yep, I think that was the beginning of their involvement in music, and then slowly it got into media with the consolidation of the Big Five and then Telecommunications Act in 1996 that Clinton signed into law. That was when the media was completely infiltrated by CIA. And then JFK, man. JFK was that was the message that they were sending to the world. The Dulles brothers, the church committee, where they admitted what the CIA was doing. They're feeding stories to the news. Avril Harriman from, I want to say he's a Skull and Bonesman. I could be wrong. He's definitely in one of those secret societies.
You know what's crazy? It's so many people, and I hate to interrupt you, man, but that's just what I do. I'm bad at it, but
it's all good.
So, like, you look at these Skull and Bones members, and the average person, the average normie, will look at these politicians, and if I was to say, oh, they're a Skull and Bones member, they're a part of a secret society, they're like, doesn't matter. Like, the president of the United States, fucking, they're not going to steer us the wrong way. But what these people don't realize is they take a motherfucking oath. And during that oath to their secret society, it says that any oath you take after this, this oath precedes that oath. And so you are to help your brethren at first and the agenda of your organization. And so, and the best example that we have of this is John Kerry versus fucking Bush in a fucking presidential election. We had a Democrat versus a Republican. Where
he
had a one
and then he conceded, yep.
We had a Democrat versus a Republican who were both fucking Skull and Bones members that went to Yale University in the same exact secret society. So it didn't really matter who took office, it was, it was who is going to help the agenda more. And if, since we are creeping on September 11th, I would like to transition this into a little bit of September 11th stuff.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. And so that was pivotal for September 11th happening, because we have people behind the scenes that are not aware of the type of people and the top five or six people that were integral. Like they were absolutely there for a reason, and it wouldn't have worked if they weren't there and in the positions that they were in. And Dick Cheney actually had more fucking control over the United States during Bush's term than Bush did. So
yeah, I would make the argument that Cheney and Karl Rove and who's the other guy? There's another guy in there that I think the three of them together, Rumsfeld were running. They were running a majority of what was going on.
Right. And this was also fed to them through Henry Kissinger. And if we look back on...
That's the next level above. Yep. You're talking about levels above the CIA. That's the next level above.
Yes. Right. So we do have these organizations that are... And, you know, I wish I had written them down, but I was just listening to Charlie Robinson's latest episode. So if you guys go listen to that. Also...
The David Icke one?
No, Charlie Robinson just put out an episode where it was a solo episode where he is breaking down 9/11 and who are the top five players in who were instrumental in making this happen and their positions and why their positions were so important. And I heard that today and it floored me because I was like, I knew all this, but like seeing somebody else like put all the pieces together. I was
Charlie's
like,
Charlie's so good at that.
Holy shit, bro.
I love his show.
Yeah, dude, it was incredible.
I want him on my show. You got to have him. Yeah, you got to tell him to come on my show. I would love to talk to him.
I'll do what I can. I can't speak for other people, but I will do what I can.
It's all good. Yeah.
And then
love his show though.
My boys at Red Pill Cartel podcast, Christian-based conspiracy podcast, also put out a 3.5-hour episode today or yesterday about 9/11. And I'm like, do I even really need to listen to their episode? Because like Charlie Robinson broke it down so much. But then I started listening to it, and I'm going to tell you guys right now, I haven't finished it yet. I probably got like another hour to go because it is a 3.5-hour episode.
Oh boy.
But they touch on things that Charlie doesn't touch on that are more fun for all of us conspiracy theorists, all of us conspiracy junkies here at White Rabbit.
And that's, so, yeah, go ahead.
So I just suggest listening to like Charlie for the straight facts and of everything, not saying that the Red Pill Cartel did not give you facts, because they absolutely do with receipts, but they hit on some more of the funner aspects of conspiracy.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I love that story, because that reminds me of something that we always talk about, this whole argument that a lot of us conspiratorial truther podcasters are talking about the same stuff and it's becoming a bit of an echo chamber. But it's not, because of just because of what you just said. You're getting a different look, a different take, a different perspective on similar events. And if all it's doing is broadening your base of knowledge in order to piece things together and try to find an understanding of what really went on. So I don't think that it's a bad thing that multiple podcasters are talking about similar topics. I think it's a good thing, because it's been suppressed and not talked about publicly through mainstream media sources for so long that people need the repetition. They need to hear the same stories over and over and over again before it starts to stick. And I think that's what's happening. People that are interested in podcasts like ours are starting to put it together based on listening to all of us talk about similar things over time. And it's been a lot of us didn't start more than 3-4 years ago, and already the community is exploding. Like, everyone's listenership is growing. So there's a need for it. There's a market. What's the word I'm looking for?
Well,
demand,
you know,
demand for it.
When I talk to Sam,
we're doing the Lord's work.
When I talk to Sam Tripley, and I was on his show one time, and I was like, you know, when I first learned about you, I I was like pissed because I already had it in my head that I'm starting a podcast because Joe Rogan did not go hard enough in the paint. And I was like, this motherfucker will only skim the surface of things that I know so much information about. And it was pissing me off. I'm like, is this guy gatekeeping? And and so when I was on Tripley's show, I told him that. I was like, fucking, I felt like Rogan was gatekeeping and somebody needed to come out there and dive deep into this shit. And then I went into, I worked with this guy and he was like, I told him I was going to start a podcast and he was like, well, have you heard of Tinfoil Hat? And I was like, no. And then I listened to it. And I was like, fuck, and this motherfucker is a comedian? Like, how am I going to compete with a fucking comedian? And I told Sam Tripley that. And he was like, you absolutely fucking can, bro. There's room for all of us. And that's what I want everybody out there to know, that, like, even if you're, like, on the fence about it, I'm not going to say that it's easy because everybody that's been in the game for a minute, I don't care who they are and how big they are, they've thought about quitting at one point or another. But you gain so much fucking out of this in doing it. And if you don't try it, how are you ever going to know? So like fucking just do it.
Yep. I agree. It's, you have to do it for you first. And I that's one of my catchphrases. I always say on my show, I always say it's got to start inside first. You have to decide that you want to do it. And then you're just going to go and do it. And, it'll be interesting to see how much more censorship occurs. I mean, remember when everyone was talking about the Restrict Act, and it seems like the status quo around the world, they're tightening up on things. It's an election year. It's going to be very interesting to see when the keywords that signal you and kick you out of the algorithm. I talked about this on the AM Wake Up show the other day about Matt Taibbi saying that, you know, they're flagging keywords on all internet, social media, everything. And certain words will kick you out of the algorithm basically, and you'll be basically shadow banned in some way. So I don't know how much more time a lot of us have, but that's even more of a reason for people on the fence to get in the game and get your voice out there and help spread knowledge and awareness to people before it's too late, man, because it ain't looking good.
No, it ain't. But with that being said, I don't think that we're out of the fight yet. What do you think?
Oh, not at all. The fight's only just begun.
So
it's only just begun.
You know, with your name, Andrew for America, you're wearing your American glasses. And because you were coming on, I decided to wear red, white, and blue today. Although I'm wearing my own. You can get this at whiterabbitpodcast.com if you see my NASA Lies shirt. And anyways, I'm wearing red, white, and blue, but more and more I am realizing that there's psyops that are counteracting psyops, and a lot of us truthers, the stuff that we put out, and I've been guilty of this for years, is also a psyop. And I'm just curious how you feel like going into this election cycle. You're saying like podcasters, like, man, if you want to start a podcast, now is the fucking time, because as soon as this 2024 election starts heating up, they are going to throw so many fucking false flags, psyops on top of psyops on top of psyops. It is going to be a conspiracy theories fucking like a wet dream, bro. It is going to be, it's going to be fucking Dave and Buster's compared to fucking Chuck E. Cheese.
This reminds me of one of my favorite stand-ups. Lewis Black has in the beginning of one of his specials, he's like, you know, being a comedian's hard. And these days it's even more difficult. He's like, a couple things will happen, and then I'll start thinking about how to make those funny. And then 15 other fucking things started happening. He's like, how do you keep up with this shit? And that's how I feel these days. I'm like, sometimes when I'm trying to get an idea for a show, I have so many clips and ideas and jotted down things and sound bites that I've ripped. And I have like this collection of them. I'm like, I don't know where, there's so much to make a show out of, I don't know where to start sometimes. So that's even more of a reason for anybody to get involved, because there's no shortage of content. There's no shortage of stuff that the big club is trying to roll out that doesn't need to be talked about.
No, it for
is,
sure.
It is a constant stream these days.
So I want to get your opinion on this, man, because as my listeners know, some of them are still aboard when I was a Q-tard. And I used to be fully on board with Q, and I've gone back and forth with Trump quite a bit. Whitney Webb put out her shit on Black Pill Radio, and I listened to that, and I was so mad at her for bursting my bubble that I like fucking, I was sending her messages. I was calling her out. I'm like, fuck that shit, dude. Come on my show. Debate me. Like I know for a fact Trump is fighting for us. Right. And then she didn't come on my show. And then she ended up making a slight appearance again on my friend Deplorable Janet show. Oh no, that wasn't Whitney Webb. I'm sorry. That was Amy Says What the Fuck. But Whitney, anyways, I wanted to fucking, wait, am I getting my journalist mixed up here? Anyways, one of these, it might have been Amy Says What the Fuck. It was Amy Says What the Fuck. I'm sorry. Disregard that. It was not Whitney Webb. Whitney Webb has yet to put out anything that I've been like, fuck that shit. Whitney Webb has always put out fucking 100%. She is batting.
Great recovery.
She's batting 1,000%. I fucked that up. It was Amy Says What the Fuck. And honestly, Amy Says What the Fuck is most likely batting 1,000% too, but she said something that I did not want to fucking hear because I was on the Trump train at the time and I was also fucking fully Q-tarded. I still can see fucking Q-hats sitting in the corner of my studio right now. So my question for you, well, okay, and here's where I am because I need to lead into this a little bit more. I've always been like, yo, it's fucking, it's all fucked. We're fucked. We've all been fed a lie. And now all this shit is happening and I'm looking at Q posts that were happening and the deltas and I'm like, holy shit, now more and more things are coming true from the original Q posts. And I'm like, oh, fuck. So now I'm like starting to climb the fence to get back on whether I'm going to teeter left or right on this motherfucker, like, do I want Trump to fucking become president again? Does it make a fucking difference? And then my boys, fucking Sean Chris and Joel Thomas, got to come out with their fucking hard-hitting truth fucking Trump episode that they just dropped last week. And if you guys haven't gone listen to that, I highly suggest that you do. Now I'm like, fuck Trump. Fuck, we're all fucked.
Very interesting. I have to listen to that because I also did an episode a while back about Trump where I used some of Colorado Dank's research, Instagram, Colorado Dank. Go check out his page. He's got some great research on there. And I went down a rabbit hole about Norman Vincent Peale, 33rd degree Freemason, author of the book, The Power of Positive Thinking. Big fan, Oprah. Oprah's a big fan. And turns out he's been the pastor of a church in New York City for years and years and years. Trump's whole family has gone to this Trump to this church. Norman Vincent Peale married Trump. And Norman Vincent Peale has been quoted as saying that Trump was his greatest student ever. So I don't know.
Man, to all the people that are pro-Trump,
like, I think Trump is just...
Could he be the greatest actor of them all? And they're all playing along with it? Because here's where I was getting at the beginning of this
Albert
episode.
Pike, dude.
Albert Pike has written it down.
If the people want heroes and villains, we will provide them with heroes and villains.
Right. And so check this out, bro. So what if both of them are just on in it, in on it, and... fucking, he's just playing the greatest acting role ever played.
I think that is one of the most feasible, logical arguments, working theories.
They're like,
I think I'm on that tip.
Let's take all the people that would actually stand up against us and do something. Mm-hmm. And then we'll just keep fucking with them little by little by little. Mm-hmm. By doing this, we can also get the liberals and all these people that believe us and they want to be anti-establishment, but they think they're anti-establishment, but they're in a different way or whatever. We can completely separate these groups. Not only mm-hmm. do we do that, but we get the boomers, right? And we can separate them politically by using fear. So let's throw in a virus in the middle of this, right? And then you have Trump, who had 3 years to be like, I'm the greatest president ever. I'm pointing out all the fucking shit that you guys have all seen, at least the people that are halfway awake have all seen this shit, and I'm fucking pointing it out. So now he completely fucking divides the country, and then you got, it's fucked, dude. It's fucked. I think we're being played.
Very
I think
well we're orchestrated all being plan.
Fucking played.
Yep. I think it's there's a big drawing board in a room under some bright lights somewhere, and a select group of people all walk to the drawing board, and they literally play a real life game of Risk or chess or Axis and Allies or whatever. I mean, think about all this. You said PSYOP after PSYOP, like, and all of it's binary, and it's intended to be that way so that the average person is divided from other people. So COVID happens, right? Are you pro-vax, anti-vax, pro-mask, anti-mask, pro-ivermectin and hydrochloroquine, or anti, oh, no, don't do that. Those methods are wrong. It's like they give you these dichotomies of yes, no, for, against, pro, con, and now all these people are fighting over these little are you for or against, very easily to control people that way. And that's right. What the divide and conquer agenda and what PSYOPs are. It's exactly the point.
Right. And then I go back to Joe Rogan, right? Because what happened when Joe Rogan took ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, and anticlonal antibodies, he's yep. claiming it as this was his big awakening, that they're all out here to fuck us, when all of us were like, yo, we've been telling you that already, and you're coming off as this big fucking intellectual that even us fucking conspiracy theorists used to look up to you and be like, yo, he's asking the questions that I used to wish I could ask, and he's talking to the people I wish I could talk to. And then COVID hits, and he is talking to these people. And if he's not, he had the opportunity to. He just decided not to. But then when he brings on people like fucking Dr. Robert Malone or Peter McCullough and shit like mm-hmm. that, like, yeah, it was eye-opening to normies to a point. But he didn't ask the fucking questions that I would have been asking them. You know what I mean? Right. Like, he's right. gatekeeping still. Like, he's letting these people wake up enough to not ask the right questions, to not see that both sides are fucking playing you. That mm-hmm. both narratives that we are getting, whether it's the truther narrative or the conservative narrative, the lefty narrative, all of them have been manufactured specifically for you.
Yep. And I would interject right there and just throw in that one of two things are happening. Either you are too stupid to see what's going on, or you are. Let me rephrase that. If you're choosing a side, if you're all left or all right, if you're all when I just had this conversation with somebody the other day where it was a very kind of respectful intellectual conversation. People were making good points, but I could tell that all of the points that this person was trying to make were left-wing mainstream media line item verbatim talking points. And I'm just like, if you're the type of person that takes a side, given what we know in 2023 going into 2024 soon, then either you are devoted to a team and you're already under control, or you are too stupid to know what's going on. The only people that know what's going on know that taking a side is the stupidest thing you could do, because then they gotcha. That's the goal. The goal is to make you take a side, pick a team, fight the other team, pay no attention to us while we go to the bank with all of your fucking money, in the words of George Carlin.
Fuck. Yeah. So you said that you put out upcoming artists, or at least artists that I hope you find potential in, that maybe are completely unheard of. Is there any punk rock artists that are worthy of listening to right now that might be speaking on some of the topics that we talk about in our podcasts?
Real quick, before I answer that question, great subject change, getting me off my soapbox. I need that sometimes. I appreciate that, brother.
No, it's all good. I just saw, I didn't want this, because I was doing the same thing, bro. It's like we were both doing the same thing. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. So we're ranty. Well, it turns out we both have podcasts. Weird, right?
Right.
So, yeah, there are some bands that I have been playing recently, for those of you that don't know, I haven't heard my show. I try to make it a point to theme up the lyrics of the song I feature each episode with kind of the subject matter or with kind of my constant themes that I always talk about on the show. So there are a few bands. I would say Adrenalized out of Europe and Straight Line out of Europe. Two very fast, technical, kind of thrashy punk rock bands. Great lyrics. Much the same. A band out of Chicago, great lyrics. Bridge the Gap is a band that's up and coming that I've played recently that one of their favorite lines is shoot me to the firmament. So, you know, they're talking about flat earth and their songs.
Nice. Like, love it.
So, yeah, so there are bands out there that aren't the stereotypical, you know, woke version of whatever happened to punk rock over the years.
These are like legitimate grassroots bands that are just out of their garage, people like you and me that have their own opinions that are making these musics? Or do you think that there is a culture being cultivated purposely,
so,
like another CIA type of movement? Because I feel like truthers are being targeted right now.
That's possible. There are up-and-coming bands that I've played that you can tell aren't as polished yet and probably aren't touring yet. They're just, you know, they recorded their first record or two, and they're just looking for some exposure that do have great music and great lyrics. Do I think that they're trying to target a new resurgence of punk rock in order to co-opt it?
Catch a certain wave to ride it in, you know?
I mean, maybe, but I feel like anything like that is going to be more organic, and it's going to be a fight back against wokeism and against this radical left agenda, or communism, or the big globalist, you know, globalism, or whatever you want to call it. There has to be a group of people that are anti-establishment, and the left is not anti-establishment anymore. I'm sorry to tell you, my fellow Americans, if you are a left-wing person, you are not anti-establishment anymore. Get it through your heads. So there needs to be a group of people that are going to push back against statist, authoritarian government, monopoly on force, overreach, and stomping on the Constitution and personal freedom. Somebody has to fight back against it. And if we don't, it's going to go away, and we'll only have ourselves to blame when that day comes. So, hey, that's what we need.
Man.
We need a musical group or a musical movement that is going to be truly anti-establishment, and I'm trying to stoke those flames a little bit with my show. I want to bring bands to my show that are talking about this stuff and that maybe don't sound like the bands that you've been listening to and have the same message that you're used to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, fuck yeah, dude. I'm gonna check some of those out. You know, I have friends personally, Joel Thomas and Sean Chris from Kill the Mockingbirds. They both do their own music, and they collaborate every once in a while, and they're doing, like, real truther music because they're coming at it with, like, a real different perspective because they've done their research on shit, and they're not like, I'm for the next fucking PSYOP that is the PSYOP to PSYOP the next PSYOP type of a thing. So go give them a chance and go check out their music. And if you want to skip through this commercial, then go ahead and skip through this commercial right now and go check out fucking either Sean Chris or Van Tesla, aka fucking Joel Thomas, Kill the Mockingbirds. You're going to love their shit. It's fucking awesome. Hey, brother, I'm going to take a piss real quick, so I'm playing a commercial right here. So if you need to take 5 minutes, I will be back in less than that.
Cool. Awesome.
Hey there, pet parents. If you're like me, your furry family members mean the world to you. And that's why I'm excited to introduce to you PurePetWellness.com, your trusted source for all things CBD for pets. What sets PurePetWellness.com apart? Well, for starters, they're an American-owned family business with genuine love for animals. They understand the unique bond you share with your pets, and they've dedicated to helping your furry companions live their best lives. And I'm pretty sure that the owner's a flat earther. You can't go wrong with that. That's pretty dope, right? So if you're looking for natural solutions, Pure Pet Wellness is where your journey stops because they have a premium CBD product specially crafted for your pets. Calming tensioners to soothing balms, they've got you covered. And conspiracy junkies get 20% off at checkout. Just hit rabbit at checkout and watch the prices. And we'll go ahead and jump back in right here. So welcome back from the commercial. Sorry that I have to do that to you guys, but we do need to keep the lights on here sometimes. So anyways, I did want to say that, like, yeah, as far as my perspective of Trump, man, I still do hold hope sometimes. And I'm like, I really, really hope that fucking this shit is true. But like, I just feel it in my gut that it's fucking, it's just another fucking game being played on everybody. And it's being played on the opposite side that aren't going to buy into the other game that's being played. And, you know, if you don't like what I have to say, go listen to Amy Says What the Fuck when she was on Black Pill Radio podcast. And after you listen to that, if you don't believe me, then go listen to Kill the Mockingbird's latest episode where they do a Trump deep dive. And fucking, you know, I mean, Kill the Mockingbirds are going to come on in November and they're going to do that deep dive presentation here on White Rabbit. So you guys will be able to hear that here. Cool. Anyways, all right, enough of this shit. We're back from the break. Man, what is your favorite? So this does not have to be music, because I did want to keep this surrounded around music for most of the time, but sure. then I was like, all right, music can't be his favorite rabbit hole to dive down. So what is your favorite rabbit hole to dive down?
You mean like some other interests that I nerd out on kind of deal?
Yeah. What do you nerd out on what we talk about here on my show and what you dive down on your show sometimes? Like, what is your favorite? Like, for me, it's like, if I hear a female talk about flat earth, I don't give a fuck if she's 275 pounds. I'm probably going to ask her for her number.
Okay. Because you're impressed that the ladies are talking about this stuff? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just saying, like, what topic, like, really gets you going? Like, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, what really gets you going? I'm like,
I think for me, probably, I really want to know what hidden, occulted knowledge and wisdom they have in these secret societies that gets passed down through the generations, and maybe the reason why these people have magical powers of some sort. I don't know if there's any truth to it.
Well, have you ever thought,
why would it be hidden if there wasn't something there? So I don't know. Yeah, I get into that kind of shit. Like, what do they know that we don't? And yes, how do we find out without people coming to kill us?
Yeah, man, I think that's definitely something that I'm into as well, which is why I started digging into the teachings of Aleister Crowley and reading all of his books, mm-hmm, because I'm like, you know, like, I wanted to know both sides of the coin. And back at the time when I was reading through these things, they probably were they were absolutely 100% for selfish fucking reasons, because I wanted to learn the mysteries of the world so that I could use it to benefit my own fucking life.
Yeah, I mean, whatever your reasoning is, the wanting to learn it and knowing that it's hidden from the general population is going to be interesting to people that have curious minds. So, yeah, I mean, I don't have any nefarious purposes, but I want to know what they know, and if there is some truth to what we theorize about when it comes to how they've studied the mind and studied the human brain. And you know, I don't know if you are a big TikToker, but there are so many videos going around TikTok now about spirituality and the chakras and how that we're, you know, energy manifestation, like all that spiritual kind of new age stuff.
Woo-woo.
The woo-woo stuff. Some of it is interesting and some of it just sounds like absolute garbage to me. So, like, it's fascinating to kind of sift through all of that stuff and find the nuts and bolts of what's behind it. And I think I nerd out on that these days more than I
used me to. Too, actually. So. And I love that. And I feel like what picture that you just painted for us was, you like to look at all these different puzzle pieces and see how they fucking fit together, right? Which I think is something that all of us really enjoy. And that's why we are deep divers. That's why we're conspiracy junkies. because like that shit gets us off. And it's like the more you are able to put the puzzle together and you're like, oh my God, it's actually starting to make a picture now. And then, right. you know, like, and then you're starting to predict what the picture is. And then you're starting to practice things in your own life based on what you think the picture is. And then the picture changes when you put another puzzle piece on it and you're like, oh my God, I was totally wrong about what I think this picture is.
Right.
And that is yep. the epitome of different red pills throughout our awakening. And I think it is a beautiful thing. You know what I mean? It's like, as long as you're on that path of awakening, then you are my friend. Absolutely.
It reminds me of Aristotle quote. The mark of an intelligent mind is to be able to entertain an idea without accepting it. And I love that. It's like, don't take a side, like fight the divide and conquer agenda. Think for yourself. Like, you know, it seems so cliche. All of us talk about that and say those same things, but like, we really mean it. Like that's the point. You know what I mean? Like the point is for you to not take a side. It's to understand both sides of an argument so that you can find out where you locate yourself in that argument. And the two-party system and the way that the media does not talk about certain things sets up this environment where the average person is, you know, they're crippled before they even start. And that's what I think I'm trying to uncover for the average listener is maybe you don't believe everything I say. Maybe I embellish a little bit and get a little carried away on something. And I'm speaking more emotionally than I am logically in certain moments, but.
Oh, you mean you're human?
Yeah, exactly. And that's part of my character and my shtick too. If you listen to my show, you know what I'm talking about, but it's these days I really try to not jump to a conclusion. I really just want to explore and see how things develop. And then I'll make my decisions after some investigation. I think it's a safer way to go.
Yeah. But it's also good to see patterns. And I think that is the biggest thing to take away from the truther community is the patterns and what actually does manifest from these things, right? Even if we look at certain conspiracies, which were like, oh shit, like this is no doubt. Like let's bring Maui fires into this, right? So everybody's sure. talking about the Maui fires.
Everybody.
And how Oprah and all these elites are trying to do like basically a land grab. And that was the whole reason behind these Maui fires. Now, I'm not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater on this because I absolutely believe that there is a lot of validity to go along with this. But if you look at it, not as in the truth on one side or the other, but you look at it instead of where is the underlining area and more of how are they going to use this situation that is in the news right now. If it's in the news, it's a situation. And how are they going to use this situation to divide more? And if we look at these news stories more like that, I think that we will be able to decipher exactly what their agenda is behind these, because it's so quick to say, oh, fucking paint your roof blue, or it was direct energy weapons, you know? And I look at some of these and I debunked some of these videos. And people get mad at me for debunking them, but like not every fucking conspiracy is true. They are purposely put out there to divide us. So what was my point, Andrew?
I think your point was stay open-minded, get as much information that you can possibly gather before you make a decision on a topic, I guess. I don't know.
My point was
maybe that was my point.
That was your point. That was definitely your point. My point is this, which I don't disagree with your point, but my point is slightly different. And it is look at how they can use this situation to divide you from your neighbor. And that is the purpose of what is happening in front of you. And once we start looking at it as that, as how can they use this to divide us rather than what is dividing us, and we focus more on the reason for the divide rather than the divide itself, then I think we can start fucking coming together more and making more change.
Yeah. You're taking it to the next level of thinking through a lot of the stuff. But yes, people like us talking about it it has got to spark the curiosity and the interest of maybe a normie that one day stumbles upon one of our podcasts and goes, what in the shit is this I'm listening to? It maybe just a couple nuggets of knowledge will get their gears turning, and then, you know, maybe they'll start looking into some stuff too. I think that's the most any of us can hope for, is that if we can show one person the door, maybe they'll walk through it, you know?
At one point, we were all asleep, and that's something that I think a lot of us forget. And even though we think that a lot of us in this community think that we've been alive or awake our entire life, but the truth of the matter is every week that goes by, we realize just how awake we aren't. But in that process and realizing that, we also go deeper into our awakening. And that's something that I want people to realize, is just because you think you are awake, you have so much more to learn.
Yeah.
Just as I do. Like, I will be the first to admit that I don't know shit. And if I'm the smartest person in the room, I want to be the first motherfucker out of that room because I'm in the wrong room.
Yeah, for sure. It's like Operation Ivy, man. All I know is that I don't know.
Ooh.
All I know is that I don't know nothing. You know what I mean?
Great, like, that's the band, dude. What a great band.
I actually posted a meme kind of similar to that theme that you just described there. And that was the music I put behind it. Is, and I think the meme was something to the effect of,
All I know is I don't know.
Yeah. An intelligent person knows that they have so much more to learn, or something to that effect. But yeah, you're right. It's like, the more I get into it and the more some new world opens up to me based on a little bit of research, it's like, wow, I have all this new knowledge. But also the flip side of that is, holy shit, what don't I know yet?
Right,
what do I still have to discover?
Well, I think that is actually a famous, I think that is a famous quote from some sort of a guru. Like, I don't know who it was, to be honest with you. Like, I'll butcher it if I say who it was, but it was like Socrates or somebody like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, we got like 8 more minutes before I got to call it. So what is one thing that you want to leave my listeners with, as far as something that you wake up to every morning that gives you hope to keep doing what you do? Because with so much hardships and so much bad shit that's happening to us in the world on a day-to-day basis, I think that it is important that we wake up and have something to look forward to. And I think it's cool to know what those things are in the people that, you know, we like, people like you. So what is that thing when you wake up? Like, why are you like, fuck this? Why are you not like, fuck this day? And why are you like, I'm going to fuck this day?
Yeah. I think that happiness is a choice. And if you don't choose to be happy, then, I mean, nothing, no external circumstance or stimuli is going to make you happy. Like, you have to just choose to walk a certain path. And I think that I am rebelliously positive in the face of so much fear, porn, and negativity in the world, so much horror and just terror. And, you know, there's so much evil, and like, and that's the fear paradigm that they want us to be afraid and feel weak and pathetic and useless, and we don't have any power. There's nothing we can do to stop anything. And I think that being happy in the face of all of the horror and terrible things and fear based paradigm that we live in, I think it's punk rock, dude. I think being happy and enjoying your life to the best of your ability is the most punk rock thing you can do in the 21st century. So
I fucking love it, man.
That's what keeps me going.
Andrew for America, host of the Politics and Punk Rock podcast. Brother, your links are going to be plugged right there, so people listening can scroll down and listen to them. So if you want to plug any other social medias that I might not have in there, as far as Instagram or Twitter, aka X, whatever the fuck they're calling it nowadays, if you want to plug, man, now is the time.
Yeah, so on most social media platforms, Andrew for America, just search the name on Facebook. I'm still on there. I got a good following on there, so I don't want to shut that down yet. Facebook is Politics and Punk Rock Podcast. If you go to politicsandpunkrockpodcast.com, my website, you can read the show notes and listen to the show there. I have a blog section with a bunch of the written works and lyrics and stuff that I've read on the show. I have a link to my SoundCloud page that has all the music that I've done personally in my music career. And then there's a link to my Spotify playlist for all the bands that I've played on the show, as well as some of my stuff, friends' stuff, bands that I like. It's a great punk rock playlist that I've curated, and I would love it if people liked and followed that. And then my show, the Politics and Punk Rock Podcast, found anywhere you get your podcasts. So check me out.
Wait, thanks anywhere, for having me, bro. Anywhere? You're not kicked off of YouTube yet? You're not kicked off of...
Oh, I just recently got kicked off of YouTube. Not kicked off, but I just posted a video show. I just released episode 157, Coincidence or Conspiracy, and actually made the joke on the show that I'm going to post it on Rumble and YouTube and see if it gets shut down because I go deep on nanotechnology, warfare, lipid particles in the vaccine, yada, yada. And I didn't even have it up on YouTube on my channel for a day, and I got the dreaded, we have removed your video because of medical misinformation, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, what the hell? Of course. Of course. Yep, so we're going to start seeing that again.
I called it.
We're going to start seeing that again, guys, so get used to it.
It's coming.
And with it coming, you guys want to be prepared. When you walk in the grocery store, you want to be a walking meme, right? So I just put out a shirt that says, not then, not now, not ever, with a mask on front and center, crossed out. So if you guys don't want to play a part in this and you want to make it known that you're not playing a part in this, then go check out whiterabbitpodcast.com. Check out the shirts there and become a walking meme. And people are going, you're going to be surprised because people are pussies. And the people that don't think the way that you do, they're not going to have the balls to come up to you and say a goddamn thing. But the people that think the way that you do, they're going to be like, goddamn right, bro. I'm glad you're wearing that shit. We need to wake up more people. So become a walking meme. Go to whiterabbitpodcast.com. Check out whatever conspiracy you're into. I got a shirt for it. Trust me. So
I got a shirt on too. Can I share? Can I plug mine real quick?
Yeah, absolutely, brother.
Check this out. I don't know if you can see this. Can you read that?
It says, it's a brave new Orwellian surveillance police state totalitarian dictatorship world order. I love it, brother. Fuck yes. And the front of it says, the Politics and Punk Rock Podcast. It's fucking dope. I like it.
Politicsandpunkrockpodcast.com. Click on store. Buy some merch.
Fuck yeah. And go check out our friends at purepetwellness.com for all your pet CBD needs. With that being said, guys, this has been a great episode. Andrew, I'm going to have you come back on, man, and we're going to have to dive down some other rabbit holes, man. You have been a great fucking guest, and love you, brother.
Thanks for having me. I've been looking forward to coming on the show. I love the tavern. Love everything you're doing, brother. Keep up the good work, and I'll be back whenever you want me, man.
Love that. All the credit to the tavern has to go to Ghost from My Third Eye Podcast. With that being said, guys, we're going to dig out of here. So keep digging down these rabbit holes.
I would never bend my knee to Satan. I would never sell myself for no paper. You can go ahead and call me a hater, but I'll go ahead and call you a traitor. Hey, Hollywood is getting canceled. I put God over financials. Just know that I never kill myself if they try to use me as a damn example. Hey, first Lil Nas, now Sam Smith. Satan coming for the damn kids. These rappers and singers are puppets. The second the label give them their advances, God is forgiven. We were all made in his image. That's why he told me to remix this. Every nation demoralization while we celebrating when people are sinning. Don't care if you trans. Nah, or you a man who in love with a man. But if you're gonna cover your nipples with tassels and leave the kids alone and just do OnlyFans, I just can't stand all the lies of the media pushing these kids, they ain't standing a chance. Hollywood pushes agendas with all of these artists. I swear that they industry's plans. All of these fallacies that they're preaching, I swear that there's no more objective reality. Go ahead, laugh at me, but I think that you worshiping Satan is more of a tragedy. They sold out our nation for more dough. That's why I don't watch award shows. Celebrity puppets, we're living in luxury. All of our business will force close. Allah Jehovah Hashem, Yahweh, you can call him whatever you do, but worshiping Satan with the purpose of angering God, well, that's just gonna make you a fool.